Agenda item number six, Broadwater Seafood. Mr. Badger, good morning.
What I'd like to do is six and, I believe it's at seven, items.
Yes.
Present them together, considering that the majority of the project is an overlap with each other. That's all right. Broadwater Seafood requests authorization to lease approximately 10 acres in Nassauwacke Creek in the iconic neck area of Northampton County. The project is protested by a nearby property owner. This application was received in the Newport News office on the same day as the James application below. And Mr. Thomas James is requesting authorization to lease approximately 11 and a half acres in Nassauwacke Creek in the iconic neck area of Northampton County. And the project is protested by nearby property owners. And this application was received in the Newport News office on the same day as the Broadwater Seafood application above. Location of the project, Eastern Shore, Nassauwacke, Eastville, Exmoor, Nassauwacke Creek. A little closer. For those of you that are familiar with Eastern Shore, the YMCA camp is up here, Silver Beach, mouth of the creek, and the main channel comes in and goes up past the town of Bayford and continues on up the creek here. These two applications are on the north side of the creek. I threw this in just to show that there are subdivisions outside of the Lynn Haven system. This first application, or these two applications, are in front of nine lots and seven piers, and this is the tax map from the county of Northampton. The application starts in this general area and continues around the low water mark up to here. The next application that you'll be seeing starts here and continues around Chesawattucks, which is a subdivision. A little closer view showing the existing leases offshore. You can see Broadwater Seafood, which is one of the applicants, has a lease here. There's public ground on the eastern side, and the two applicants have applied for this area through here. The Broadwater Seafood application stops here, and the Thomas James application continues up into the small cove area. You can see it. There's a small channel that comes through here, and it gets narrower here, down to about 100 feet, and you have to go all the way up here and then around to get out. The controlling depth is 2 to 3 feet. It's very shallow up here in this area, and the applicants want to go to the low water mark on the fee simple property. This is Broadwater Seafood's application, which is James Kelly is the president of the corporation. He has 441 plus acres on the seaside of the Eastern Shore, 10 acres in Nandua Creek, and a little over 10 acres on two leases in Nassauwacke Creek, totaling over 462 acres. He also has agriculture operations at Bayford on the bayside and two operations in Willis Wharf and Red Bank on the seaside. This is Thomas James's application. As you can see, he goes farther up into the cove. Mr. James has one application for a little less than 5 acres north of the Gulf, and he has 11 applications totaling 235 acres on the bayside of Northampton County. Three of these applications are in Nassauwacke Creek, and the applicant intends to go to use the ground to grow clams, which will require nets. So he basically needs the area that's in the shoal, the shallow area near the fee simple property. And this is my rendition of the overlap and the extra area that Mr. James would like to lease. Section 28.2 of the code states that all applications shall be considered in the same order in which they were received. We received both applications in the Newport News office by mail on the same day, March 4th of last year. One was for 10 acres and one was for 11, and you can see where the differences are there. In response to our public interest review, we received a protest petition for Mr. Grant Cooley with 32 signatures. Their concerns include boat access to their property, loss of privacy, trespassing, littering, nets and rebar, adverse impacts to primary fish habitat, and property values. I took these photos because I think it was necessary in this particular case, because you can see all the sandbars and the small channels getting in and out of the north side of Nassauwacks Creek. I've got better photos I'll show in a minute. But the two applications start up in the small cove, continue on around this point to here, and then the next application will continue on around, and the third application will be back in here. But the one that we're dealing with right now is this one. As you can see with my arrows, this is the how you get out the creek. And at this point, you have to make a determination whether or not you want to take the small channel, if you've got a smaller draft boat or the tide's up, or you have to go all the way up here and then back down the main channel to get out. A little better view. This area over through here is all leased up. Matter of fact, the lease is stopped at the channel because they didn't want to block the channel. They're the existing leases. And you can see the channel itself coming out, and then the back channel. Our recommendation is the existing offshore leases were stopped near the edge of the small channel leading into the small cove. This was done to provide navigational access along this stretch of Nassauwacks Creek. If the channel was left vacant, there would only be narrow areas between the existing leases and the channel. We cannot support leasing the narrow areas south of the channel. Staff also cannot support leasing the cove area. The cove is a shallow area, and leasing this area would create navigational issues for the riparian owners in the cove. So this area through here, we would have a hard time supporting. You can see the shoal here. All these leases were stopped near the channel where it dropped off for that reason. This is very shallow up in here. There are, however, two areas, not three, that's in your packet, between the piers along this the reach that are approximately 300 and 484 feet long and could support aquaculture, clam, and oysters. If the commission believes the leasing of this, some of this proposed area is warranted over the objections of the protesters, staff would only recommend the leasing of the two wide areas, and we would recommend that the area be split evenly between the two applicants. And finally, we would recommend that any leased area be located at least 50 feet away from any existing piers. This would result in the two small areas of approximately 0.3 acres and 0.8 acres, respectively, which would be subject to our final survey dimensions. So this is, we're not even really totally recommending these areas, but these are the two areas that we believe could support clam aquaculture and oysters cages. I believe the two applicants are
here.
Both of them are here. That's all I have.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
Do you have a recommendation on how to deal, if we were to lease those two areas, on how to deal with the timing of the applications and that they were both received at the exact same time?
Normally, if they come to my office, I stamp them in with a date and time. However, they came by mail, so it's hard to distinguish. It would be sad to say, oh, this one I'll pick up first versus
right.
The other one. So the mail came in the same day, so we consider them a tie.
Okay.
It's jump ball. Yes, Fritz.
Yes, this red area that you're recommending, how many?
I'm not really recommending.
Oh, well, I understand. But
could possibly.
How many people on shore, landowners, would that impact? Protestants?
Possibly two lots here and at least one lot here.
Three
to four people directly impacted. Should be noted that we received an application from Grant and Wallace Cooley for their riparian oyster grain rights on this property up here. In Northampton County, you get a quarter of your frontage, unlike the rest of the state, which in a riparian application, you only get a half acre. So if they have approximately on this that particular lot, 1,000 feet, so they can get close to 250 linear feet of riparian, and the riparian will take precedence over the general application. Once it's assigned, you cannot take the riparian out of the lease.
Understood.
And so what we could potentially have happen here, if any of this is leased, if any of this area is leased, we could potentially have the riparian owners coming back in before it's assigned and taking their riparian out of this.
Ms. Erskine.
You may have hit on this, but did you survey or know of any SAV stands that are currently in the area?
There are not any here. I can. There's a little bit just beyond it. And that was, this is the last 5 years composite, but it's off the lease. So, and that's looks like a 10% less.
And that, and that's, if I'm correct, that's Broadwater Seafood lease?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Badger. Well, let's go alphabetically here. Mr. Kelly? Alphabetically with Broadwater Seafood. I need to swear you in. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I apologize.
Please state your name for the record.
Oh.
Into the microphone.
James A. Kelly. The
Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
I have my answers to the one is the top copy is why I believe I'm qualified, best qualified for the property.
Okay.
And the second two pages are my answers to the petition.
Why don't you spell it out a little bit for the commission?
Of why I want this. Well, I get 100% of my income comes from the aquaculture industry. Been in it for three generations. Right now on this piece of property, I have two young men raising families that for the first time they started in the aquaculture industry. Last year, they made $20,000 a piece. With this new application, if I can move some cages off of this property onto some more property, I can double their income. It also, moving the cages off of this property allows me to plant market clams on this property and provide more grain for winter and over clam seed.
Commission is digesting here for a moment. Hold on.
I apologize for being a little nervous. I am not a public speaker.
Relax. Not a problem. Mr. Ballard.
Do you know when you originally acquired the lease just offshore here and why you didn't extend it all the way inshore at the time?
At the time, we weren't in, oysters were not around for us.
Okay.
And oyster cage, and it didn't seem to me that I would need it. But along came the oyster aquaculture, and we do need it.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
And would I be right in assuming that you also work on the leased upstream a little bit that's under the Bowen name?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
And this this new application I'm putting in my professional opinion, is completely unusable for growing clams. It's just not. I mean, you're going to have a little bit of shoreline coming off to put cages, but you might get two clam nets in there, but that would be it. And two clam nets is not a lot of clam nets.
Other questions? Mrs. Cohen.
So your existing lease there, is that used for traditional oyster?
We grow aquaculture, clams, and oysters on it. We winter over seed. So it actually has two or three different uses. But we're trying to expand our business. So if we can just reach across the channel, put some cages over there, that frees up the original lease for growing clams.
Thank you.
If I explained that.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
So, Mr. Kelly, in addition to that lease, the Broadwater Seafood lease we see on the screen there, the packet also says you have 440-some other acres. Is that in the area, or
that would be on the seaside?
On the seaside.
This is on the bayside.
Okay. So this is your only area on the bayside available to you. The other side is seaside. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission?
I didn't realize this application was going to be this big a problem. It's kind of a no man's land up there. I don't ever see any traffic. I mean, you know, it's not really a navigable, even though you could take a boat up there, you just never see any traffic. I mean, but I didn't realize it was going to be this big of an issue.
Mr. Bella?
How do you feel about Mr. Badger's comments on the navigation and the narrow channel and oyster cages in that area? Do you feel like it would totally block navigation in that area?
I do not. Right offshore of my lease, the present lease, which is in yellow, you go to deep water. So you're either going to be in 10 foot of water, or you're going to be 10 feet of water, or you're going to be in 2 feet of water. So one, you're going to, you would go over anything that would be in the way, and the other, in shallow water, you couldn't get there with a running your right board to start with.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Mr. James. We swear you in as well. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Thomas Hezekiah James III.
Floor is yours, sir.
As far as the timing, I can only speak to this application and the one below it, the little jib that you see sticking out, were both mailed in on the same day. As it turns out, the mail showed up for the bottom one the day before this one that Jimmy Kelly was applying for. So checked for both days the same day, dropped in the mail the same day. But it's a function of the Postal Service. With respect to the offset of, you know, Hank said 50 feet from the docks. I tried to research where I could find any set regulations as far as easement for docks. State of Virginia does not have any. I had provided Hank and Paul a list of over 100 applications where docks have crossed leases. Either the lease was there first and then the dock came with no user conflict, or, you know, the docks came and they came less than 50 feet in some cases to the dock. So there is more area there even between those docks. This one right here, unless they fixed it up, this is basically abandoned from the aerials that you can see. A bunch of pilings, nobody's really using it at the moment. So there is more usable ground, whether or not the commission will choose to lease it. As far as in the cove, it might be all mud flat. I don't know. I'm not looking to block anybody's access by boat. You know, I'm doing clams. I need shallow water. I don't need, you know, anything more than, you know, 2 feet at low tide. I can't crawl for crabs. So it doesn't really do me any good or serve me any purpose. I said I've got just under 5 acres of ground down off of the Gulf, of which maybe three of it's usable because the sandbar came in. I was before the commission October a year and a half ago trying to get some more land shoreline of that. Denied because of SAV. Gotten that and wouldn't be here today with all these little slivers trying to apply for pieces of ground because there's not much left on the bay side. And what is left is probably not worth having. Like some of this lease is probably not worth having, but it was there, so I did my best to try to find something that looked usable. You know, you can put clams on there. I mean, if that parcel right there, the big one in red, or the smaller one, you can put beds on there. You know, 60 feet, that's enough for a one bed length, and if that one's, you know, 480 feet long, you know, that's 1.5 million clams that you can put on there. I'm looking to do 3 million clams a year for 3-year rotation. All together, I would need about 3.5 to 4 acres. Just afraid that we're in the spot that I'm in now, as the sandbar keeps moving, I'm not going to have anything left in a few years. I've got to move somewhere else.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine's hand was up first.
Have you, knowing the protests from the landowners that are there, have they reached out to you to discuss this, or have you reached out to them? Or There's been no contact. Okay.
No. I didn't even get the list of protestants until I got the application in the mail. What was that? About a week or two ago. I guess it was March 9th. And then most of the names I can't make out on the signed petitions. But no, I have.
Mr. Ballard.
I think Mr. Patrick said you had a number of other leases that you're applying for. Can you talk about your plans to utilize all these grounds? It sounds like you're planning on growing. How many other leases have you applied for?
All total, I think I've applied for 13. One has already made its way through the system on Barlow Creek. That one, they did the survey. There was no low water. At least nothing that the VMRC was under their jurisdiction, so there's nothing that they could lease to me. There's plenty of real estate. You could plant clams there, but because there was no water there at low tide, it was not leasable. That would have been about a three and a half acre parcel there. There's another one up in Hungers Creek that is probably about a 4 or 5 acre parcel. That one hadn't been surveyed yet. That one's very near condemned shellfish area, so. And that was probably muddy, too. I haven't walked that ground. But if they condemn the shellfish area any further out, that one's going to be worthless. There is one that they have surveyed right on this side that was about 3 acres, give or take, on Waverly. Haven't gotten word back on that, but from what I understand, that one is going to go through. Problem I have with that one right now, it is a little muddy, but I don't have access to that property yet. Not without traveling a long way. From putting my boat in. This one, you have Nassauax Creek, you have a quasi-public boat ramp at Bayford. You know, it's an honor system, but so that's why I was concentrating here. There's another one south of Smith Beach. That one's protested. Well, other than one at Waverly, well, actually, they were all protested for one reason or another. But the protest at Waverly went away. The guy protested because he didn't think it was any water. There was any ground available. Strange reason to protest, but anyhow. The one at Smith Beach, which is the largest one, it's about 125 acres, is a little bit of a sandbar. You might get a couple ridges off of it, or the shoreline, which is very dynamic. Most of it's a deep water channel. Same problem. People are complaining that I'm going to block access to their channel. But, I mean, if you zoom out and you look at the maps, you're going to find plots that are covering the channel. I mean, Valley Fish and Oyster has, you know, the channel there at Kings Creek, you know, because it went back so far. So the fact that you're leasing the channel, I'm sorry, it's irrelevant. It's Plantation Creek, Kings Creek, Nassauwaters Creek, all of them. Channels have been leased across for various reasons over the years. But, yeah, I'm trying to expand to get to about 3 million clams a year. Right now I'm doing about 1.5. But I've got three kids trying to put through college and trying to do a little more for retirement. In addition to my day job.
So. Other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of either of these applications? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak in opposition to either of these applications? Please come forward. Need to swear you in. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Joseph Stevens.
Sir?
I'm one of the upland owners, and I believe I signed at least one of these protests. I've lived on this creek for about 20 years, know it well, I fish it, I boat it, I've seen the development of the aquaculture industry, and it's wonderful. It's a good thing for the creek. I also know what uses I make of the creek and what uses my neighbors make of the creek, and I know these particular areas very well. I live in the Chandler House. It's been there about 100 years. It was the first house down there. And that is located up in the cove around the corner from this application. You'll be able to see it on the next one. I heard Mr. Kelly say this is like a wasteland and there's hardly anything there, and he found one dock that hadn't been repaired. But as you can see here, and as you'll see on the next applications, numbers 8 and 9, Mr. James' applications, there's a dock about every 200 foot or 150 foot all the way around this area and on around up this creek. This is existing subdivision, some of it years old. Mr. Badger didn't mention it. I live in what used to be called the Fraser subdivision, which is probably 60, 70-year-old subdivision. This was once all Chandler land, and it was farmed, and it was an oyster shucking house on my land. Mr. Chandler worked this creek, and he farmed that whole area. Anyway, today's use, enough history. And by the way, I come from a family who's worked the water for over 200 years. So I got nothing against watermen and nothing against people making a good living off the water. I think I probably understand the views of most of my neighbors all the way around the shore. I know a lot of them. I talk to them. I know what they think. And I know how they use the creek. This particular part of Nassauwattocks Creek gets pretty intensive use. Boating, recreational fishing, recreational crabbing, commercial crabbing, even a little bit of gill netting. So this is not a wasteland. It's a very actively used part of the creek. And unlike out in the middle of the creek where it's pretty shoal, and you wouldn't have boats running across it unless they're nuts and they want to cut up all the clam nets there, and nobody wants to do that, or run into oyster cages out there where you can see what's already been leased up. This is up along the shore, and Mr. Badger put it very well. There's a narrow channel that runs around this point, and it's about the only way to navigate in and out, at least at low tide. You put oyster cages in there, and I don't want to blow any smoke, but I think you've had some smoke blown at you today. You put oyster cages in this channel here. The oysters will grow like topsy. This is beautiful water. But you can't, I think it's impossible to avoid trouble. People do use this to get in and out in their boats. They do fish it. You put clam nets up along the shore. Somebody's going to be fishing off their dock and their gear's going to catch in the clam net. So a lot of this creek is very suitable for leasing, very suitable for aquaculture. If you look at the bigger picture, it's used pretty intensively, and it's a wonderful place to grow clams and an even better place to grow oysters. But this is not the right part of the creek to lease up. I thought Commissioner Ballard asked a real good question of Mr. James. And I don't know the answer, but there's a lot of rumor around that Mr. James is more interested in speculation with these leases than he is in actually using them. That's not an accusation. I'll just say that's something I've heard from several people. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them to the best of my ability.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Sir, are you saying you protest the entirety of leasing any part of this area?
Well, I'm focusing on 6 and 7 because you agenda items 6 and 7 because you split them up that way. Mm-hmm. I would say something very close to what I've said on my behalf and on behalf of my neighbors about agenda items 7, 8, and 9. The bottom configuration's a little bit different, so I might want to add a little bit to what I said here. But the answer is yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Badger's suggestion about leasing up these small strips, I guess it would mitigate part of the problem. But people do fish off that shore and fish along that shore. I know people, trout in particular, they get up along that shore and people work that shore fishing for trout. And it's not a wasteland. It's an actively used part of the creek. And there is channel in there. At least channel enough for a small boat.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Frantz.
Yes, sir. Can you see if this was maybe passed, just speculating, the protestants maybe applying for their riparian rights in this case?
I can't imagine a lot of them wouldn't do just that. A lot of people fish off their docks. The kids fish off their docks. The grandkids fish off their docks. I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Thank you.
Commissioner France, whether that would cure some of these other problems, I kind of doubt. But you see what's leased up. I know all this water. That's shallow ground. People generally don't run their boats across there. A lot of it you can't get on except when the tide's up.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I will.
Please state your name for the record.
Grant Cooley. I don't have a whole lot to add to what he was saying, but I would like to hit a couple points, and part of that, he spoke very well about the use of the creek. While there's not that many people coming up here, that is the only egress and ingress to that cove. And in this area, there hasn't been SUVs there in a while. Now, I grew up there. That creek used to be loaded with them. And with the Chesapeake Bay Act in effect and the water quality improving, the wild horses are growing great up in the cove, everything's looking good. I really hope that SUVs can come back. And if we're putting oyster cages, clam nets on it, not going to happen. Another concern I have is if there are clam nets, and I've talked to different people. I don't know any of this outright, but, these guys are trying to make a buck off this basically free land, and I'm very worried about my property value going down because I've had other people tell me that, that they've lost money on their own. And again, I'm a recreational fisherman, and my first fish was right off that dock when I was a little boy. So, we've been there all my life, like I say, and I'm just scared of what's going on. I love the aquaculture industry. It's great. It's booming. But, at what expense to some of us? And I think that about sums it up.
Questions from the commission? Ms. Erskine.
I appreciate your testimony, sir. I just wanted to, and this commission works a lot on trying to balance the uses, certainly these marine resources, but you made a comment about, this is really cheap land, and as far as, from the industry, what they put into the acreage is quite a bit of investment in the seed or the gear, the labor to culture these clams or oysters, so... It certainly is a way of life, and they, have an obligation to be able to make those grounds productive.
Well, I agree 100%. Now, the one thing that's not in place, it seems like, is control. You've got seemingly antiquated regulations governing this stuff. You don't have personnel to control these guys. It's worrisome. I mean, I'll take Mr. Kelly. I wouldn't worry about him at all. I know he's going to do the right thing and work with me the best he can. Now, somebody else might not. I don't know. It's, you know, it's troubling.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify on this matter, pro or con?
Are we going to address item 8 and 9 a little later? Or is it
yes.
Okay, I'll wait.
That comes next on the agenda. Anybody else wish to testify on this matter? Mr. Kelly, you want to wrap this up from your perspective? Do you want a minute or two?
Just briefly, when I said it was a wasteland, I meant far as me working there. A lot of that cove is impossible to work. The shoreline would be better for me for oyster cages. You can stick a two-inch piece of PVC pipe down there, and you can shove it till next Thursday and never hit bottom. So, but and I've truly never – I appreciate what the fellow said. I actually know that home, know the family, Chandler family, but I truly have never seen anybody over there. I mean, whether it is or not, I don't know, but I've never seen anybody in that area, and we're not out to obstruct anybody's navigation. We would be willing to move cages wherever we needed to move them in order for people to enjoy the property. And but that area, one thing I got to say, we're all from the Eastern Shore. We're all friends. When we go home, we got to be friends. But I just don't – I believe I'm a better candidate for the property than Mr. James. I don't even believe Mr. James has seen the property. And it would be better for me if I could get this parcel, and then maybe Mr. James can work on another parcel. Thank you.
Hold on a second. Couple of questions here, Mr. Kelly. Mr. Erskine?
Well, you referred to cages. What kind of cages do you indicate, you know, you might have in mind to put on this ground?
We use 4x4, two-stack, oyster cages, traditional cages like everybody else uses.
So as a follow-up, maybe it's to Mr. Badger, but is this part of, or that be, would be a separate JPA, or would that be...
If they're under 12 inches above the substrate, it would qualify as part of this lease. And I think that's what Mr. Kelly was talking about.
Okay.
4x4, 4 inch by 4 inch.
Okay. All right. Thank
you. We're only allowed to have them 12 inches off the bottom unless we apply for another permit.
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
Of the areas in red that Mr. Badger's delineated, would either of those be of interest to you if we were to carve either of those out, or at that point, would you rather just not see the whole piece leased at all?
It's hard to say looking at a picture. I mean, when you get there, 5 feet is a big deal. 10 feet is a big deal. When you're putting oyster cages out, it would be hard for me to determine from looking at that exactly
sure
what would be the best one to use.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Mr. James. Got a minute or two to wrap up. Come on up.
I've got a survey. I had a lease from an old paper lease from 1980 that actually showed that whole shoreline done. But I didn't have it in here. That's what it is.
Mr. Right. James, let's move along.
All right. Though I'm not looking to speculate on the ground, I do want to try to use any of the parcels that I can to the best of the ability of them. but, you know, but everything's a, pardon the expression, is a crapshoot when it comes to any of this, because you never know what's going to be usable, what's going to be not. And like I said, it is hard to tell from an aerial what is and what isn't, but this was my best guesstimation of ability to use plots. I mean, you're cutting off quite a bit when you bump back 50 feet. I mean, a rural road right away from center line is only 25 feet. So if you're bumping 50 feet off of a dock, the person needs to learn to operate their boat better. And I didn't even work around here, but it didn't seem like there was going to be that much much depth of the water. As it showed, it wasn't even 40 feet. These are 50-foot plots or so. The bulk of, you know, finding ground is here or between these two. Like I said, that was why I was looking to use the amount that I was looking to use.
Mr. James, will you please leave it right where it is? Mm-hmm. Let me ask a question. Move it over to the right. Is that your schematic drawing of what you envision if this lease is granted to you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, wrap it up.
All right. That's basically all I have for this particular.
Is there anybody else in the audience here who has not testified who wishes to speak on this matter? These two matters, these two applications. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Let's start with the discussion. Who's first?
Nice.
Mrs. Kellum.
Question for staff. The two red areas that you pointed out to us, if the property owners did decide to apply for their riparian rights, how much would they be reduced, or would they not affect those red areas?
They would. Let me go back just to look at the, particularly this one lot here. You can see that's relatively large. That's probably 700 feet, a quarter of that, and he could put it anywhere along that shoreline. And if I was him, I would not put it around my pier. I'd move it 50 feet off my pier, so it would tie up that area too, because we wouldn't lease up against a little jag anymore. Now, again, you can see here there's quite a bit of shoreline. It's not a straight shot across. It's the low water mark. So this area could probably get another quarter, which might be right through there. This may be too small. You still need 205 feet of frontage. That's potential what could happen. And I forgot to mention, since we have not surveyed this, whatever your decision today is, we still could potentially get another protest, and it could be back in front of you. But we couldn't go forward with two applicants.
Mr. Ballard.
Question for Hank again. If we were to decide not to lease any of this today, that would just be a decision not to lease, right? We would not be creating a set-aside or anything. We'd just have a precedent of not leasing that area.
That's correct. Someone tomorrow could turn around and apply again.
Right.
We would obviously discourage that.
Sure.
But they could. They may come in with a smaller piece of a particular little area. So it could possibly come back.
Is within the commission's discretion to formally set this aside?
It is. Mm-hmm. We have, or the commission has in the past, put a sunset clause in an area down off of Old Plantation Creek probably 15 years ago. They put a 10-year moratorium on taking a lease in that particular area, and the reason was it was SAV. They wanted to evaluate it in 10 years. 10 years came up, sunset clause went away. I can't really remember what happened at that point.
Discussion by the commission. Mr. Ballard.
Just some discussion points that I feel for both applicants as well as the homeowners here. I think this is an issue we're going to see more and more of. One, a lot of speculative leases, but two, growth in the aquaculture industry. There's a lot of user conflicts. We saw it for the past year with the Lynn Haven system. I hate to see it happening on the Eastern Shore, but there aren't a whole lot of leases anymore, and aquaculture businesses are looking to expand. I don't think we can just grant it to existing seafood companies. We have to look at the guys that are looking to get into the business and grow their operations as well. So I feel for the applicants. I think their companies, as well as mine, and every other aquaculture company, is looking for good, available bottom to expand their operations. But there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of. I think, in my opinion, this is an area I think we should not be leasing. The conflicts are too great. There could be marginal use out of it, but we're seeing the homeowners protest. It's unfortunate. I'd love to see plenty of open ground for everybody to work, but after further discussion, I'm probably going to move that we not accept. I approve either of these applications. I would say that I'm against a set-aside. These are very dynamic areas that can change year to year, and I think most aquaculture producers understand that they need to be studying this, and it's part of their homework to see if an area changes. Perhaps we'll have sea level rise, something else that'll make this great aquaculture grounds in the next 2 or 3 years. So I'd hate to see it set aside, but those are just discussion points.
Mr. Zetra.
I'm going to echo that. I think here's a bomb getting ready to go off right here. These homeowners and everything, you know, they really respect their land. I respect the watermen too. I got a captain's license as well. But that being said, if you look at the usable aspect of this land, and specifically with the cages, that's a real bad thing, I think, because we heard from the homeowners people, you know, everybody's out there fishing, they're throwing their fishing lines out there, they've got their boats and everything. That we've heard from our people talk about how narrow the channel is. And when you have these cages, you can't run over those cages. And when you throw your fishing line out there or whatever, it's a real problem. And you know, I got to believe that when they leased this property, they came to that creek for a reason, that channel. And that's why those leases are out there and not any closer, because probably it was considered that, you know, we got to have that channel so the property owners can use that, they can enjoy their beach. And I hate to see Lynn Haven start all over again. And I think I agree with Mr. Ballard here. This is an area we should not lease.
Other discussion, Mr. Erskine.
I agree with what's been said here in discussion. And I would ask us to think back to probably several years ago when we started debating some of these issues with aquaculture, some of the waterfront landowners, and I think we came to the conclusion that there are some areas that are conducive to aquaculture and some areas that are not. And the Lynn Haven may be an example of parts of that sub-estuary are not conducive to leasing, and there may be some areas that are. And I agree with what's been said. I think this is a user conflict issue, and if there were anything to be leased, I would agree with maybe what's in red. But that does one thing for the channel and navigation, but it does really nothing for the upland landowners that may have an issue. And we heard some of that from the protestant. Personally, I would have an issue as an applicant knowing that there were 32 protestants to my application. So that would be the first red flag that would go off in my mind if there are that many people protested to the application.
Further discussion? Commission operates on motions. Mr. Ballard?
What is staff recommendation here? I would move that we deny both of these applications.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ballard, second by Mr. Zedorn here, is to deny both of these applications. Any discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously, and the applications are both denied.